This is just bizarre. It's bizarre. Well, but it is the news, according to me. Yeah. It's Thursday already. I got to go back to work in 2 weeks. Can you believe that? That's just, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to go back to work. It's Thursday, April 23rd, 8:35 a.m. Getting a little bit of an earlier start on this than I normally do. Yeah, it's 2026, by the way. In case you didn't know the year. It's, you know, this stuff's going out into the ethosphere. You never know where it's going to pop up somewhere, and then you know what the year is. There you go. Here you have it. It's 2026. The year it all happened. This is the year it all happened. Something. Everything that happened this year happened in this year. We don't know what all that's going to be yet. But I, in all of my prognosticating skills, I'm not sure I said that right. All of my future telling skills, I'm going to just say that there are more things that are going to happen this year. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going out on a limb. I'm going to prophesy that there's more things going to happen. Probably more things that the left is going to, their heads are going to explode over too, as well. Trump is going to do something that's going to make them mad. Interesting stuff going on with that. In fact, the Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC, we're going to talk about that a little bit, as well as this thing in Virginia, what's going on with the gerrymandering stuff that they're doing. What they claim the Republicans are evil. They're evil for doing it, and they're doing it on steroids. They always have done it. That's kind of weird about that. The SPLC, that's bizarre. Virginia thing, that's bizarre. Oh, that's bizarre. It's all bizarre. It's like a big bazaar, like the Methodist bazaar. We have a few things to get into today. In the meantime, here's my cup. We're going to get into my cup. I've got the, I'm getting in a rut, I think. I've got the, you think? Over the last 2 years, I think I've been drinking the same thing. I have a Big Train creamy chai. In fact, I got to remember to order some more because I think I'm almost out. Hopefully they still have that stuff. In my backup cup, I've got, it's at its peak right now. The peach flavor is at its peak. It's perfect. Which means it's only got about one more day before it goes bad. I've got, because usually the tea starts to get, now the tea is staying fresher this time. I think it's because I got it in this sealed container. The normal container I put it in is not quite, there's always a little air hole around the spout area. It's in any kind of air it gets, it's potential for developing coliform bacteria. And it's just that, which isn't necessarily bad for you. It makes the tea taste funky. This tea is staying very fresh, but it has a sealed cap because I use the Chick-fil-A jug, which has a seal, you know, it's a very sealed cap on the top of it. A little harder to get the tea in there, but it seems to be working better. And it's, of course, it was a little harder to get the peaches in there as well, but it's the peach flavor. Yeah, it's all coming together now. It's tea with this peachy flavor. It's good stuff. I don't have much left. It's getting down. Of course, now, as it gets closer to the end, it gets, of course, the peaches that are still in there makes it more intense as well. But it's just good stuff. I'll have to make some more tea tomorrow, I think. But see how it works out. I don't know if I got any sugar. I got to make sure I got some sugar. I had just enough to do it last time. I don't think I had enough to do another one, but let's see if I've got any more. Anyway, there you go. That's all that stuff. So we're going to talk about some of that stuff. We got some other things going on in the meantime, but I've got this, got a couple projects going on this week. Things that are kind of, I wish I could get out and do more. There's, I'd like to get up to the boat, but there's big deal kind of going on Friday night. I got to get that ready for that. Trying to burn some CDs. I ordered some CDs from a company that produces them mass quantity. They didn't come through for me. It's not that they didn't do what they were said they were going to do. It's just I thought they'd come through sooner than this. It's been taking them longer to get some things done. I should have paid the extra $50, but now I got to go out and make some CDs. I go to the printer and do some stuff like that. So I got to get that done today. Hopefully I'll get a hold of it done by tomorrow. make a few of those. Anyway, the those who are showing up for the debut of my some of my songs on Friday night, I've got some CDs that have some extra songs on them. It's not the typical CD you get off of iTunes, so it's kind of an interesting collection. I've got some singles that'll be coming out. Those are going to be on the CD. So anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? The AI thing is not going to happen today because obviously it's broken. And I've just started working on that. I'm trying to work on this. Claude is introducing new stuff every day, the AI developing thing. I'm just getting into this thing called Claude Code. And it seems to be working pretty well. Now, I've got to figure out the most efficient way to get this app across the line because it's going to eat up quite a bit of my usage to finally get it in the can and get it out there. A lot of this is how I needed to, you have to sit down and kind of describe what you do, what all your qualifications are. And that all has to be typed out and kind of put into a document that can be put into a folder so that the AI can understand who you are and what you're doing as far as what this project is about, what you're trying to accomplish with this project. So I've got to have kind of a project folder, kind of a roadmap for the AI to go down so it's more efficient and it can get some things done. It always has that to call on anytime there's anything going on. So it's got to be very precise because you have to talk to AI like a child because otherwise it will take everything you say almost literally. And so you have to be very careful with that. And anyway, we'll get back to that. I want to take a sip here and let's get on our way. We're after this, after this brief message from our sponsor.
It's the news, according to me. Oh, it's the news, according to me. It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news, it's the news,
it's the news, yeah.
According to me, it's the news,
it's the news.
According to me, it's the news, according to me.
Yeah. It's our sponsor, me. I'm the sponsor, me, according to me. It's the news according to me, and it's the sponsor according to me. I am not bought or sold. However, I am not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I am just a guy with a microphone. And so this is all just for entertainment purposes only. Any accusations I make are just simply made up out of thin air. There's nothing to them. It's all for all speculation. It's my disclaimer. It probably won't work. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. I probably should talk to a lawyer because nobody listens to the show anyway. So I'm sure none of these people that I'm talking about. Let's look at. I think I looked at the stats at the end of the last one. The stats are still. They're kind of down to that normal range again. There was a couple weeks there where things were just shooting off the charts. I'm not sure exactly why. I did look at some of the other countries. They're Vietnam, for one. That's kind of a shocker. It's like 38 people, 38 listens or whatever. Now, it could just be one person who's picked up 38 different, they were able to listen to 38 episodes. I don't know. It's going to change the country, I'm sure. Nothing in North Korea yet, unfortunately. I haven't seen anything over there yet. But maybe just mentioning them will, because they show up, because they got this, maybe they have an AI thing going on over there. You say anything about North Korea. Maybe it'll pop up on the radar and somebody in the government will listen to it. And they'll say, what in the world is this? Why are we wasting our time with this show? Anyway, not that you are. Not that you're wasting your time with this show. This is I'm sure, a great benefit to you. It's probably a good benefit for you to listen to this show, especially if you're trying to fall asleep. But if you're listening to this show and you're the one thing you're going to get out of this show is you're going to realize that there are people out there who are not as smart as you are. That's and I would be that person. So there, I'm helping you understand the just how brilliant you actually are. It's a contrast. I'm setting the bar very low for you. Let's just put it that way. That's good chai. It's just better when it's hot. You know, I'm keeping it in this insulated cup now. It's easier to drink out of the regular cup, but it's also easier to spill, and it's also easier to... It just cools off faster. It just, by the time I get down here, even when I heat it up in the microwave, because when you heat up something in a microwave, typically the cup itself gets hot, which helps to keep it warm longer. Well, it just steams off and just goes away. It doesn't stay hot. Now, it's still hot. It's just kind of fun. I don't have any clips today. I was going to have clips today. There was some stuff I was going to talk about, and I can't remember what it was. And I was looking for those clips. I think I've got them here. Actually, come to think of it, I think I got them all rounded up yesterday, after the show yesterday. I put them in a file. We'll see if we can find that stuff. In the meantime, there are people. What's more and more becoming known as the woke right. There's a lot of loose definitions of what the woke right is. I'm not going to even dip in my toe in the water there, because I don't think that there's any real definition. Some people say that Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly, even Alex Jones, some of those people have become part of the woke right. And there's an interesting mix of what's going on. Sometimes they buy into stuff. Just putting it this way, they have a hard time. Yeah, I'm gonna go here. There are people out there like Megyn Kelly and some of these other people who've been put off by the administration. I think that, you know, when you're supportive and when you think bigly of yourself. And you think that your show is the most important show, and you have all these listeners, and you have all this influence. You know, Glenn Beck was a big, he had a huge influence. He had a large number of listeners. He had radio shows everywhere. His morning radio show was a big deal. It was on every day. It was a big production. He had a lot of people, a lot of staff, a lot of folks working for him. It was a big deal, He would talk, and he thought he was very important because he had, you know, millions of listeners. And you think that, you know, your power and your influence are huge. And it is a delusion that people like, you know, like me, who happen to have a microphone, and some people happen to listen to you. It doesn't necessarily mean that your opinions are going to sway them in any particular direction. What typically happens is you connect with them on a level where they agree with you. It's an agreement thing. It's not necessarily not swaying anybody's opinion. You're helping them develop an opinion, maybe possibly, but it's they're still the ones doing the thinking. And I think that's something I think that Rush Limbaugh, I talked about him yesterday, but I had a lot of respect for the guy. I think that's something he understood. I don't think he ever endorsed any candidates, in fact. He never endorsed a candidate until after the primaries. He never endorsed any candidates until basically, he was very careful about that, because he knew that the endorsement didn't mean anything. It's not going to change. It's a polarizing thing. And I think it leads to this idea that the person who's doing the endorsement thinks that they're much bigger than they are. I've never really understood why they think that that's going to, oh, well, I've got all these followers. I've got these millions of followers. Well, they're listeners. They're not followers. They might follow you on a program or in that sense of the word, but they're not following you as a leader. They're connecting with you on an intellectual level or whatever you want to call it, but you're not leading them. Now, you can influence them in some ways in developing an opinion, but again, that's the one thing I appreciate about Rush Limbaugh is he was able to connect with the listener and give thinking and reasoning based on the foundational principles of what he believed. And the things about, you know, the structure of government, everything else about the founding of our nation. And I think that that's where I connected with him. That's where I connected with Ron Paul. Ron Paul, I would say, changed my point of view, my paradigm, my way of thinking when it came to government and liberty and everything else, and what the founders actually, you know, designed and what they now, what you do with that. And I'm not an anti Ron Paul guy. I still like the guy, but I think that he goes off on a fringe. The one time that I think he said something that caused me a lot of caution, and I can't remember what year it was he was running for. I don't think it was 2008. I think it was. I'm thinking it might have been the 2000 election. Actually, it might have been 2008. I can't remember for sure. He was running for president. He came through the area. Actually, went down with some friends into Fort Wayne and listened to him speak. And he was able to connect the dots with the founding of the nation. Now he also made this statement at one point, and this is the statement that caused me to kind of woke up my, I guess, kind of slapped me in the head. He said something about Kucinich. I think it was in Ohio. I think he was an Ohio representative. Was he senator? I think he might have came from a senator. I think he was congressman. Congressman Paul and Congressman Kucinich. I think they were friends. They were good buddies. Kucinich was on the left, and he was a very, I'd say, radical, kind of a. I think I would call him more of a conspiracy nut. Had some weird ideas. Now I know some friends. I had some friends who thought he was, you know, work friends, I should say. I was people that I knew from work, and of course they've turned out to be extreme leftist individual. I haven't talked to him for years. I left that company back in 2008. I haven't talked to him since, actually. But the interesting part of all that is. That caused me some concern because I knew more about Kucinich's background with regard to some of his ideology. And to say that someone's a good friend of yours, I don't know if that was a political statement, you know, being made publicly, just say, you know, this guy's a good friend of mine. If that's kind of a, there's some camaraderie with regard to certain things. I don't know if that's what's going on there, or if that's actually, you know, if he was. They hang out and have cheeseburgers together. I don't know. Either way, it caused me to kind of take a step back and get, you know. And I think that's where a lot of these influencers fall into this trap of this idea. You know, Glenn Beck, he came out and he made this big statement in 2016. He came out and said, I'm not going to vote for. He was talking about voting for Hillary Clinton. I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump. I think we need to vote for, we need to keep him away from the, you know, keep him out of it. And we need to vote against this guy, and we need to vote for Hillary Clinton in the next time around, next election. And there's no, she would have been in for 8 years. It's very hard to get an incumbent out. And at that point, you've already caved. They've already, and the machine that they had in the wings waiting to go, there probably wouldn't have been a Republican win ever again because of the things they were doing at that time. They were, folks, it was, and here's what's funny about this. In 2016, they didn't even pull out all the machinery, all the mechanisms. They just thought Hillary's going to win. There's no way Donald Trump wins this thing. And I don't even think they tried to cheat. I don't think they want to take the chance of getting caught cheating. They're like, oh no, this is a shoe-in. We don't have to worry about this. She's going to win. It's just without even trying. And then he won. And then they started screaming foul. And then they started, and it, all the way up until the election, they're saying, oh no, our elections are so secure. You know, Obama was saying, our elections are very secure. They're extremely secure. They're the most secure elections ever. And then of course, after they lost, oh well, these are the Russians hacked our elections. They bought $150,000 worth of, or $40,000, whatever it was, of Facebook ads. You spent over $1 billion, Hillary. If you'd just spent that extra $40,000, you could have combated the Russian spies and won the election. That extra $40,000, you could have squeezed that out, maybe sold a painting or something from the Epstein Island. All that stuff is just strange and bizarre to me. But Glenn Beck thought he had all this influence. He thought, okay, I'm making this move, I'm making this statement, and this is going to sway the election. This is going to change the election. It didn't. In fact, it got him in trouble. A lot of his followers dropped him. A lot of radio stations dropped him because he lost so much popularity. He lost so much credibility. Just the whole thing fell apart on him just overnight. And he had to start his own organization, his own little broadcasting thing, The Blaze, and all that stuff that he started off. This all started from there. Now he's succeeded and he's done it. I think he's back on the radio again in our area. I think he's back. He's got a show again. But he came. And part of that was because he came back to some reasonable sanity to some degree. Now the guy's, I'm not going to get into his theology and everything else, but the point is, these people think that they're bigger than they are, and all you're doing is resonating with the people. You're not influencing them. You're trying to reason and have some sense of thought and openness. And the listeners that are there are not there for you to tell them what to think. They're there because you're helping them formulate how to think. And I think that's the one thing that I think Rush Limbaugh understood best. I think that was the one principle that I think got. I don't think he had to be deliberate about it. That's just the way. That's just his character. That's who he was. And that is a form of humility, actually, in terms of character. You can intentionally do it and try to be intentional about it. And that's you might have to be because it's not part of your character. It's part of something you have to, it's a whole different philosophy of that whole thing. I'm not going to go down that rabbit. Another rabbit hole, bunny trail, whatever you call it. Not going down that one. And I think that's where some of these people on the woke right, I would have thought that Tucker Carlson would have kind of learned this. However, I think the whole thing that happened at Fox News, this is what I think happened to kind of set Tucker Carlson up for this. He backed away from Fox. He got fired from Fox News. Everybody kind of saw him as the underdog. He had kind of a big fan club there. And so when he got fired there, everybody, they didn't like Fox News all of a sudden, and they kind of followed him over to his little platform that he started. And he felt like, look at all these listeners that have followed me over here, and I've got this thing now. I've got all these people, listen to me, and they follow me. And I'm not saying he intentionally thinks this in his head necessarily. Maybe he does. I don't know. But that's the self-aggrandizing thing that happens to these people is they get this feeling of importance that they feel like there's this. And there's when it becomes a thing where there's a division, almost like a cult-like following, as they say, that's the term we use. That means that there are people out there who follow you, who will follow you through thick and thin, and as a listener, and there's a dividing line where people will not follow you. They will not listen to you. And then you're in a bubble, is what I call it. It's just a type of bubble that people get themselves into, a silo, whatever you want to call it. I think that's what's happened with some of these folks who've been through some things, have been out there on the edge. And I think Candace Owens is in that camp right now. She's got a bubble of people who still listen to her. But that at some point you start to realize that those who are stuck in that bubble are not the ones who necessarily are the great thinkers. They're the ones who want you to tell them what to think. The folks who fall away and don't get involved are the folks who we're interested in how to think, not what to think. They want to be independent in their thinking. And I think that's where you lose the majority of the American people. The majority of the folks on the right, let me put it this way. The majority of the conservatives, the majority of the Republicans, and then I think the traditional Democrats, and even most of the independents, I think in some respect, most of the independents are just left-leaning. Don't want to associate with the weird parts of the left, but they still want to be left. Most independents, I call them Democrats. Not the new radical left Democrats, but the traditional Democrats. And to some degree, I understand why they are, you know, why they call themselves independents and when they do. When the left gets really crazy, wacky, lefty, then that's when the leftists start to, I don't want to be part of that. I'm gonna just stay over here in this independent thing. I don't want to go that far. But they're still there. They're still on that. They still lean that direction. Most independents do. Now, I think that they are also somewhat anti-establishment. I think they're still, they don't like the Republicans for whatever reason. I think it's because the Republicans have developed their own little culture of weirdness as far as the institutionalized, the right, the establishment Republicans. I think they have an issue, but I think the independents recognize that, but I think the left has played a very good propaganda game with regard to all that as well. They've always had, they've always been able to push this idea that the far right are the Nazis. If the further right you go, the more Nazi you become, which is the absolute opposite of what it really is, which is still interesting, some of these terms. So anyway, that's where they're at. I think that these folks that are going out and making these statements think that they're going to sway public opinion, that people are just going to listen to them and say, oh, Nazi, I'm telling you, Trump is doing this, getting us into another war and blah, 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 blah. And then they didn't mention how we've lost, is it 13 or 16 people? I can't remember. I've heard two different numbers. I don't know. Now, depends on how you count those numbers. There was one, I think it was, we lost six people in one accident. It was an accident. A couple other people who've been shot down, planes. I'm not sure if we've lost it. I think we did lose one person in one of the shoot downs. I can't remember exactly. It was friendly fire. It was another country that, they accidentally sent off anti-aircraft missiles. I think it was Kuwaiti. I think it was Kuwaiti at one point. I'm not sure. But there's been several incidents like this where, it's just been this weird kind of a, military individuals are killed annually. I can't remember how many we lose every year in accidents in general. That's just a part of, getting through life every day. It happens. And it's tragic when it happens. But just the fact that you happen to be working for the military at the time you pass away doesn't mean that was a, anybody who passes away right now in the military, be based in Arizona doing nothing behind a desk and you pass away. Oh, we lost another one to the war. That's kind of the way the craziness is with the news media. Kind of like it was during COVID. Anybody died during COVID, you were dying from COVID. Regardless, you could crash your motorcycle. Well, if you had COVID and you crashed your motorcycle and you died, well, then you died of COVID. That's how crazy things were. But this is the world we live in. It's just kind of how they do things. So that's where we're at with this whole thing. Now, having said that, the reason I bring all this stuff up and spend half an hour, half of the show talking about it, the Southern Poverty Law Center, this organization that was out there to go after white supremacy and all these radical groups that are out there, anti-government, anti-whatever, like government groups, the white supremacist groups and the racist whatever, they've been funding them. In fact, Charlottesville, the big event where President Trump said there were fine people on both sides, and he's talking about completely condemned the white supremacists, but he also turned around and said, there are fine people on both sides of the argument about the with regard to the statues being torn down. Come to find out, the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, they actually were funding the white supremacy groups. In fact, they paid for the anti was it the counter protest or whatever it was? Something like that. Now, again, I'm not sure I got the details correct or not, and all this stuff. It's all kind of coming out now. Cash Patel was out saying how they've been indicted with money laundering, conspiracy to you know, all kinds of money fraud, banking fraud, all kinds of stuff that they've been. There's a big long list of stuff. I won't get it all right. But they're being indicted for all this stuff, or accused of all this stuff. And come to find out, they've been funding it because it's kind of like the, in order for us to have business here. Now what they do is they shake people down. I know that back in the day, this was back in the 80s, even in the 90s, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson were kind of big in this whole thing. They had their own organizations. And they were both someone in a city. They kind of had territories. They were kind of two different gangs. They would shake people down. They would shake down companies. So something happened at a company. For instance, if something happened at Pepsi or whatever, or Coca-Cola, or what some big company everybody knows, some incident where there was a noose found hanging from whatever it was, you know, but it was just a, you know, a loop that they used on the garage door, whatever it was. That they found, and it was all this racial stuff would start to happen. They would bring this up. You'd hear Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton come in and go, "Oh, it's racism." They'd be in the streets drumming up all this rhetoric, getting their protesters out there, bringing a lot of bad attention to that particular company. Well, what they did was they would sit there and do that until you paid them off. Well, you give us $80,000, we'll go away. Whatever it is, whatever their fee was for that particular issue, it'd be kind of based on how much damage they could cause or how much. So they'd ask for some big payment to be some payoff or whatever. Well, at one point there was this big deal where I guess there was kind of some overlap of territory, and this Al Sharpton came in and he asked for some money, and Jesse Jackson came in and asked for some money. And the company said, we'll pay one of you, but I'm going to pay both of you. Which one do you want us to pay to get this for this to go away? Well, that got out in the news, surprisingly enough, for about 5 seconds. But it got out in some kind of a journal. This is back before the internet was, big deal. And it was, it kind of became this scandal. It was like, well, what's going on here? Why are you guys you're going to pay them off and then they're going to turn this around? What's And that's where the whole thing kind of, they got real quiet for about a year after that. They didn't do a whole lot with regard to their fundraising activities, I'm going to call it that. And of course, this is their whole thing, is they have to drum this stuff up in order to get paid, because they have to keep their organization alive. So people keep donating to them to fight off these white supremacists. Well, if you don't have white supremacists, then you don't have anything to fight. So they have to pay these people to be, and they'll pay off people to take the fall for stuff. Now, it'd be really interesting to find out how much this guy who threw vinegar on Ilhan Omar, how much he got for his, how much he got to take the fall for that. If there is any, if they ever find anything on that, well, I don't know if they're going to, the investigation's going to go that far, but they have ways. Let's just put it that way. They have ways. They were using offshore accounts. They were using all kinds of things, banking fraud, all kinds of stuff. Now, this is, and this is just one organization. Now, there are a lot of NGOs out there who are sloshing all this billions of dollars around that was all getting sent out through USAID, USAID, I should say. Lots of money there being sloshed around. And some of it was going to good causes. Very little of it, in my opinion. But there was a whole bunch. It doesn't take much, just a couple percentages of all that money. I think was it 26 billion or whatever it was. It was every year. It was going around, flying around. Even if just a billion of that is getting back into the coffers of the Democrat Party or any kind of nefarious organizations, that's too much. That's a huge amount of money when it starts getting spread around everywhere. And the... how many other organizations were doing this exact same thing? Now, I wouldn't be surprised if the SPLC was getting funding as well as from USAID and from some other government funding. I'm sure they're getting grants and all kinds of crap. This is the kind of stuff that happens. And it's very frustrating. It's very infuriating, actually, to know that it's happening. Now, it's just now kind of starting to come out. I don't know what else is out there. I'll have to try to find out what else is going on with all that. But it's just kind of being, the onion's being peeled back at this point to find out who's going. Now, the interesting thing is who's really behind all of this. Was Act Blue any part of this? Was there anything anybody else that was, you know, knew about this stuff? Who all knew about this stuff? And how many other organizations? My question is, how many other organizations are out there doing exactly the same thing? Because I'm sure there are bunches of them. And, you know, whenever you see something like this happen, what was it that happened the other day? Somebody found somebody doing something. Just like this deal where Eric Swalwell, just for example, this is an example. It's one lady who had this whole pretty detailed story about what happened to her with Eric Swalwell. She came out and shared the story. And everything that happened, the way this stuff, it's so well planned out. This whole thing, I think she accused him of possibly drugging him or getting her drunk or whatever it was or what was going on with that. And so there's all this stuff that was happening. And this is not a one-off, in my opinion. This is something that you hear how this happened. I'm just saying, I don't think it was the first time this guy, you know, it's just, you know, this stuff usually happens one time, and they go a little further the next time, a little further the next time. This was pretty advanced stuff that this guy was pulling. This isn't the first time he's done this. That's just my opinion. I don't see how somebody goes to this extreme and does what he does if it's the first time he's ever done it. Oh, I did it that one time, did all this and got caught. What? I don't think so. You go down this, you look into any of these people who are serial killers or anything else that's out there. They don't just start in with this big elaborate deal and can do this whole thing, you know, first time out of the box. There's this graduation of things that happen. And this whole idea that, well, it's just, he just did this one time, whatever it was. Anyway, I could be wrong, but there's probably some people out there, you know, going all out the first time they've ever done it. Maybe they've been planning it for years, whatever, I don't know. I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. Just happened to be a one-time thing. Anyway, I got that going on. I'm just looking at my list of things to do here. I got so many things to do today. The other thing we're going to talk about is the Virginia thing. There's this gerrymandering, or whatever you want to call it. They've redistricted everything. Now, what my understanding is, there are 10 different. I think there's 10 delegates there. The Democrats, I think, had 6 districts. The Republicans had 4, I believe. Or is that right? No. Yeah, is that right? I think it's right. Something like that. They reorganized it, and now the Democrats have 9. The Republicans have 1. It's a ridiculous way to do this. Now, my understanding is all you have to do is divide up the districts so that you make sure that there's not enough Republicans in a particular district to get the seats. So they're basically going to add three or four seats. I thought they were going to add 4 somehow. I must have my numbers off somehow, because my understanding was they're going to add 4 seats to the House of Representatives, which is huge when you got narrow margins the way we have them. It's a big deal. Now, I don't know. Apparently, right off the bat, there was a lawsuit filed saying it's unconstitutional, and it may not even go to the state Supreme Court because it's such a heinous way that they did this thing. It's probably not going to stand. So I think it was a referendum. I think it was actually people voted for this. But of course, again, you put the referendum out there, and they've monkeyed with that as well. It was a razor thin win to get the referendum in, but it was. At the same time, there's shenanigans going on there too. Now, this person who ran for governor, she apparently came in and she was acting like she was a moderate. She was all against this gerrymandering thing because she was talking about how the Republicans are gerrymandering. It's evil, talking about the evils of gerrymandering. Of course, then she gets into office and she's like, well, since they're doing it, we have to do it too. We're going to do it on steroids. We're going to do it that much more. That we're going to win this fight. In fact, I think it was Hakeem Jeffries or somebody came out and actually said that. They wanted to start a gerrymandering war. They're going to get it. And we're going to win it. Oh, so it was evil before, but now you're going to go ahead and do it because you're going to win that battle. Right? Well, they're probably not going to win that battle. This can be a two-edged sword, and they unfortunately are probably going to poke their eye out doing it. I think, but I don't know. We'll see how it all works out. That's been the biggest issue, though, is this whole thing with. Some other states are doing it. Some of the states have threatened to do it. The problem is they've already done it. I think Illinois is one of them. I think it's ridiculous the way they've got their districts lined up. There's several states that are already that way. I know Gavin Newsom threatened to do it in California, and it's kind of a joke because they've already done it. It's already, you look at it and you're like, how are you going to change this? You've already boxed them in. They usually just do it quieter, and they don't. Of course, when Republicans start talking about doing it as well, then they're you can't do that. They make a big stink out of it. So that's what they end up doing. Anyway, So my standard question to these people, in the midst of all this, is,
what's wrong with you people?
That's my standard question. So hey, we're gonna play this little thing here. If you're interested in calling or texting the show, you can call it google.com/voice, or you can, if you don't have an international plan, you can do that. You can go to the internet and do that. Or you can just call or text if you have a way to do that with your little phone, little calling device, whatever you got there. But in the meantime, listen to this little ditty.
Five, seven, four.
But wait, there's more.
6-5-1. We're almost done. 7-6-85. Text that number. It's alive. Text that number. Call that number. Don't be a loser.
Just do it. Just call it. Just do it. Leave a message or text message. Let me know what you think about that. Anyway, in the meantime, tomorrow's show, tomorrow's Financial Friday. We're going to be talking about some things tomorrow morning. Some things that are happening worldwide. We're going to talk a little bit about the monetization system, money trading in general around the world. What's happening with that? The International Monetary Fund, as well as the World Bank, the Federal Reserve. Some of those kinds of things. We're going to talk about some of that kind of stuff tomorrow, I think. At least that's my plan. I'm not. Don't hold me to anything, of course, but it's kind of my theory. I'm going to kind of talk about how this stuff all works. We may have the AI agents up working tomorrow. We'll see how that's going to work. I know that's a big project they'd work on today, and it's an awfully nice day outside. I mean, I may have to do a lot of work outside, which means I'm not, until I get an agent working on this agentic agent stuff. Just see what I can do with that, because that way the agent can work in the background while I'm doing nothing or while I'm out doing something else. It's, you just say, hey, go build this for me, and it can spend the hours sitting behind the desk trying to figure out it doesn't sit behind a desk, but it does all the stuff where it goes over and over and over and over. A lot of times building an app, a lot of what you do is you do all the code, you get it all set, you set it all up, you put it on your computer, you put it in a full particular folder or whatever, and then you run this terminal program through your system. I use Python 3.2 or whatever it is. You set it all up, you get it to run, you run a bash file, you get all this stuff happening, you make it work, and then you see if there's any weirdness about it. What they call the UI, the user interface. So you have this, what your little page is. You got your buttons and all that stuff that you got to push on. If that all works properly, you test it out. If it's doing something weird, then you go back. I don't know if I said something about this on the show the other day. I typed in that as this stuff I wanted. I was trying to get a picture of something. It's kind of a weathered hand with holding some gems in his hand, and you know, guitar in the background, and this guy's, you know, sitting there without, well, it wasn't a facial picture or anything. And the first picture looked okay, but the hands were really, really, really old. They looked like they were 110 years old. I was like, ah, that's not what I'm going for here. And so the hands need to look a little younger. And same kind of picture, just, you know, a little bit younger than that. Comes back with another one. And the proportions were all screwed up. I was like, and then I noticed, wait a minute. This is two left hands. This guy's got two left hands. So I said, well, this picture is two left hands. Got two left hands here. Can you make it so that this the one that's being, you know, held out here, but there's one that's, you know, kind of relaxed over there. That's obviously coming from the same person. And it's the left hand. And then the thumb is on the wrong side on this one. Cause it's not showing a right hand. It's showing a left hand. Okay, the guy's got two left hands. So I ended up, saying, you know, just start all over again here, start from the top and start something new, maybe switch the, you know, the perspective around or whatever you got to do here. But let's, the concept is good, but let's start from the very beginning and do. So it shows me this, pretty much the same picture, but the hand that was holding the gems now had two thumbs. And then it said, your allotment for using this, picture generating program has exceeded its, or is at its limit. In other words, I used everything up for something I couldn't use. I think it might have been Gemini or ChatGPT. I think it's ChatGPT. It might have been. I can't remember which one it was. Very frustrating. Okay, you can't get it right. So now I paid for all this, and you couldn't get it right. That's what's really frustrating about it. That's probably the biggest thing. It's just so frustrating about it. But that's the way, that's the world we're living in. And of course, there's nobody to talk to about it. You can talk to Claude, or you can talk to whoever. You can talk to ChatGPT. You can type it in there and say, hey, you did this wrong. Can you give me another chance at this? No, because you're over your limits. Well, thanks for using up my limits and screwing it all up. Well, you know, when you don't put the right prompt in. I put the right prompt in. You should know. I thought you were intelligent. I thought part of the AI was intelligence, part of the half of your word and your name. Anyway, that's what I got to say about that. In the meantime, I'll be right back after this plug about what's going to be on tomorrow's show.
It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah. According to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me,
it's the news.
Yeah, it's the news. According to me.
Yes, as we ease into the end of the show here, folks, we have... just a whole lot of things going on. We have tomorrow's, like I said, I think tomorrow we're going to talk about the international monetization, international monetary fund, the international banking world money system, and what all goes on there, and how that affects us here, the petrodollar, all that stuff. We're going to kind of pile all that stuff together in one thing. Now, at least that's the plan. Again, like I said, I'm not sure that's what we're going to do, but we're going to try to do something like that. What's this music in the background? Oh, there we go. In the meantime, folks, thanks for listening this week. Yesterday's live show was actually kind of fun. There was actually people in the room, which is kind of fun. Sometimes there aren't. But yesterday there was actually three or four. I think we had four or five participants actually, people who typed in the box there, which is kind of fun. So anyway, it's kind of fun stuff. In the meantime, we have. Rest of today to go. I think the weather's supposed to be halfway decent around the country for a while. As we go into the weekend, hey, I got another weekend to be at home, which is nice. In the meantime, God bless. Hey, everybody, have a great day, and I will, in the meantime, see ya.